Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the difference between man and animals, or should I say, between animals and animals? You see, sometimes there's very little difference between man and animals, and this is because man sometimes has a difficult time separating himself from animal-like behavior. Now, we know that Adam was created on the sixth day of creation, but then so were animals. However, the real difference between Adam and the animals is that Adam walked with God. The animals didn't walk with God, but Adam did. However, some people seem to think that when God created animals, it was just a nice part of the creation story, and that God only created a bunch of cute, snuggly animals in order that man might have something to take care of and something to help him take care of the earth. But believe me, the creation story is more than a story, and the animals have a much greater symbolic meaning than just being a lower life form than humans. When we view the creation story, we must view it as a whole and complete overview of God's plan of redemption from sin, and not just another facet of the world. In fact, God's plan of creation contained everything needed in order to bring about a restoration from Satan's sin of rebellion. And the creation of animals on the sixth day was part of God's plan to show the nature of the beast and to show that Satan himself, in his rebellion, was acting like an animal. Satan, in his rebellion against God, was not acting in any reasonable fashion. Therefore, God created the world in a form which would demonstrate this very important concept. In the time before man was created, there had been a rebellion against the authority of God. Everyone pretty much realizes how Satan began to think that he himself could be like the Most High God. He began to think that he himself could actually sit on God's throne as well as God could. It was the beginning of a power struggle, but this power struggle was only a struggle on Satan's part, but not any struggle at all on God's part. However, because God needs to demonstrate fully and completely that there is absolutely no power but God himself, it eventually brought warfare in heaven. The very act of rebellion against the authoritative word of God had to be dealt with decisively, and this is where animals fit into the picture. Animals are God's way of showing just how stupid and weak someone can be when they begin to think that God is just another ruler that can be overthrown. Now, what actually took place in the beginning of the rebellion was that Satan began to reason within himself that God was not really the all-powerful God. He began to think that God's word was not completely true. He began to reason within himself that God's absolute word could actually be replaced with his, Satan's, own thoughts and concepts instead of God being the one and only power and the one and only true word. Now, if you're a Christian, then you already believe that God's word is true. God, after all, is our God because we believe him. We believe that God's word is the final authority and that, without question, every single word of God is absolutely true. That's why we believe on Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Word of God. It says this very plainly in John 1:1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You see, the Word of God is what has been in existence since before time began. God's Word has always existed, and this is also one reason that we know that Jesus Christ is also God, in that He is the Word. If Jesus is the Word of God, then He is also God, because the Word of God is who God really is. Now, maybe you've never thought of the Word of God being who God really is, but consider this. We humans also have words, and our words describe who we really are, just as God's words describe who He really is. We're humans, but we are known by our words, just as God is known by His words. All through the Old Testament, God continually spoke words which described who He is, what He likes, what He hates, and also describes very plainly how powerful He is. According to God's own word, He is the Almighty God. According to God's word, He is jealous. According to God's own word, He is merciful, He is kind, He is loving, and also according to His own word, His word is always true. Now, any person who thinks otherwise is being unreasonable. It is unreasonable to believe that God is anything at all different than what He says He is. First of all, no one in their right mind can comprehend God as being anything other than true. Therefore, if God is always true, then His Word is always true. Titus 1 verse 2 tells us that God cannot lie. Now, notice something interesting. The Bible doesn't say that God won't lie. It says that God can't lie. There's a big difference. Every human being on the face of this earth has lied at one time or another. God never lied, and Jesus, who is God, never lied. The very concept of God is that God's word is always and forever true, 100%. And this is because of the very simple fact that God doesn't follow truth, but rather He establishes truth. Truth is established when God speaks. This is how we know truth, because it is what God spoke. However, the very basis of Satan's rebellion is that God's word is not completely true. When Satan tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, he insinuated that God had lied by saying that anyone who ate of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, would die. The devil said, "Thou shalt not die." This was a direct lie, no way around it, and Satan was insinuating that God had told a lie. Believe me, when Satan had suggested that God had lied, he was acting like an animal. He wasn't demonstrating a reasonable thought process. He was acting like a brute beast. You know what a brute beast is, don't you? A brute beast is a big lunk of a guy who takes a girl out on a date and tries to force the girl into acting anything like a lady. In addition, this brute beast claims he's a little short of cash, and so the girl has to cough up a few bucks to pay for dinner. Yes, this is definitely a good description of a brute beast. You see, the word brute means having no ability to apply good reason. Animals are considered to be brute beasts. They are described as brute because they have no cognitive ability to think. Or maybe the best way to understand the difference between humans and animals is that humans can perceive the possibilities of their own future, whereas animals cannot. Humans can ponder what lies ahead for them after the grave, and animals cannot. This is because animals were not created to be intelligent to this extent. Animals have no aptitude to apply the powers of reason. They cannot apply reason as humans can, or at least as humans ought to apply it. When Lucifer decided to rebel against God, he actually rebelled against God's word. You see, who and what you are is determined by your words. Of course, we're talking about true words. If the real truth is manifested, it will be by your words, and also your actions will further demonstrate your words. If someone wanted to destroy you without using physical means, they would attack your word. They would attack who you are. What we are down deep inside is only known to us. Of course, God knows us, but other people can't know what we really are down deep inside unless we manifest it. Unless we demonstrate it outwardly, no one will know who and what we really are. This is why we have language. We use language to communicate in order that we might know what the thoughts of others are, and they might know our thoughts. In addition to language, we use actions. With our physical bodies, we act out our words. Of course, we can also speak words and demonstrate actions which inhibit others from knowing our true feelings. But sooner or later, the real truth will eventually come out. Even if we lie, it eventually demonstrates to others what is in us. As the Bible says in Matthew 10:26, eventually there will be nothing hidden that will not be known. Now, God's word is true. When God says he is good, then he definitely is good. There is nothing that God says that is not true. In the beginning of the rebellion in heaven, Satan decided that he himself would rise above the throne of God. He envisioned himself as ruler instead of giving complete allegiance to God. Now, here's the important thing. If you consider yourself to be a higher creation than an animal, then you should be able to ponder your future estate. And by future estate, I mean where you will end up after death. In this life, you might be able to act like an animal and still get along fairly well. However, in the next life to come, animals will not fare as well as humans will. Human beings have the opportunity to enter into an eternal life with God, and not just as a people who live forever, but actually live forever as sons of God. Now, imagine being sons of the living God. In this world, we think it's pretty neat if we can be sons of a rich person or sons of a famous person. But in our eternal life with God, we will be able to be the sons of the living God. There is no better place to be. There is no higher calling than this. There is no Father greater than God himself, and you can't do any better anywhere. Therefore, why in the world would a human being want to align themselves with the animal kingdom when they can align themselves with the kingdom of God? But then, this is exactly what Satan did. He acted as a brute beast. He wasn't using his powers of reasoning. He was using animal intelligence. You see, if the difference between animals and humans is that humans can ponder their own eternal future and can make decisions based on their reasoning powers, then what we see is that Satan acted like an animal. He should have applied his powers of reasoning and realized that his future was at stake. To even think that he could overthrow God is stupid beyond belief. This was pure animalistic thinking and not applying good reason at all. What you have to realize is that there is a life after death. This present life is only tentative. It is like a puff of smoke that will soon clear away. We know that God is the all-powerful God. We use the term omnipotent to define God. Omnipotent means all-powerful. God is the chief power. There is no greater power than God. However, God is not only the chief power, he is the only power. You see, when we consider power and realize that God controls all things and not just some things, then if we apply our human powers of reasoning, we will recognize that there is no power in the earth or in heaven that exists without God granting that power. If it were possible to have power without God granting it, then God could be overthrown. However, it is not possible to overthrow God because God is all-powerful. There is no power that exists except that power which God gives. So, going back to the subject of rebellion, we have no other alternative than to realize that Satan was acting like a brute beast when he began to think that he could be powerful in any way whatsoever without God specifically granting that power. And believe me, you can't overthrow a ruler by using the ruler's own power. The only possible way Satan could sit on God's throne is if he was to ask God, "Pretty please, could I please just sit on your chair for a couple of minutes?" Of course, this is absurd, but not as absurd as trying to overthrow God's throne. You don't overthrow someone who has all the power. In order to overthrow someone, you have to have some power of your own. And here's the interesting concept. Satan had no power of his own. He was trying to do something that is impossible. Any rational human being can easily recognize that God is the only power that exists. Therefore, why did Satan forfeit his powers of reason and begin to act like a brute beast? Why did Satan start thinking like an animal? And the answer is, I have no idea. Ha! You thought I was going to give you the answer, didn't you? Well, I can't give you the answer if I don't have it, and I don't have it because the answer is part of the mystery of God, and God has not yet decided to reveal it. However, we do know that Satan acted like a brute beast. It was this beast mentality that started this whole thing. And animals, which were created on the sixth day, right along with humans, is part of this mystery. We can learn a lot about God's mystery, though, if we look at animals from the perspective that the Bible gives us. Do you know that God has promised us eternal life as sons of God? Sure you do. All we have to do is to believe God's word. It's really that simple. But of course, it's also complex if you start to realize the implications of God's word. God doesn't promise eternal life to anyone who doesn't believe all of his word. If you believe most of God's word, but not all of it, you're not going to end up as a son of God. Now, think about this. Satan came under the heading as a son of God. No, not the same kind of son of God that we are going to be, but a son of God in the sense of a creation of God. The Bible refers to this in the first chapter of the book of Job. But you see, Lucifer had eternal life. He was a heavenly creation of God. He lived with God. However, we humans, although created on this earth, have been given a promise from God that we will be sons of God and live with Him forever. However, there is an if clause in the promise. The promise isn't to everyone, but only to those who believe God's word. If you don't believe God's word, you aren't going to be a son of God, and you aren't going to live with Him forever. As it says in Galatians 3:22, the promise is only to those who believe. Now, think about this. Satan made a big mistake. He did not believe that God's word was completely true. He thought that he could disagree with the word of God and still get away with it. But he couldn't get away with it, and he was kicked out of heaven for good. And this is exactly what happens to anyone who disagrees with the Word of God. If you don't believe, then you're going to be cast out of the presence of the Lord forever. This is what is also promised in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, that those who do not believe the word of God will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Everlasting is a strong word. It doesn't mean temporary. If you're acting like an animal, you will set aside reason and will not contemplate your eternal future. Satan acted like a brute beast because he set aside reason and refused to contemplate his eternal future with God. And believe me, there is no eternal future other than with God, at least no future worth having.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
What we have in the form of animal symbolism is that Satan set aside his powers of reason and began to think that he could reject God's word and get away with it. But he couldn't get away with it, and he has been turned into a beast until 7 times has passed over him. And after these 7 times has passed over him, his time of being a brute beast will be over, and just like King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, he will also realize that there is only one God and only one power. And he will finally acknowledge that it is only God who has that power. However, the real question for you is if you yourself realize this, that God is the only power that exists, and that God's word is holy and completely true, every last bit of it. You see, when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of heaven, the mystery will be over. Everything will be revealed to us, and we will see that millions of people have acted like brute beasts all of their lives. When Jesus Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and we who are still alive will rise with them into the air, and we will be with Jesus. The rest of the people who are alive on earth will recognize immediately that they had also acted like brute beasts. They will realize that they had not used their powers of reasoning to contemplate their future, and they will understand very well that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. He is the Master, and He is the Savior. There is no other way to go to heaven. In the book of Daniel, 4th chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar also thought that he could take the credit for setting up an earthly kingdom. He actually thought that he had power himself. In Daniel 4, verse 30, it says, "The king spoke and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Now, we know the story of how God turned Nebuchadnezzar into an animal until 7 times passed over his head, so that he would know who was the all-powerful authority over everyone and everything. King Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, but only after 7 times had passed over him. Satan will also learn this lesson, but only after 7 times passes over him. Therefore, it would be a very good idea to use our powers of reasoning to realistically contemplate our future, then we won't wake up one day and realize that we had been turned into a beast until seven times has passed over us? It is in this life that we have the opportunity to use reason and to contemplate the life to come. In the next life, it will be too late. If we really want to live forever with Jesus Christ, then we had better stop acting like animals now.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 152, The Difference Between Animals and Animals. We also have extensive studies available on the prophecies of Revelation, including such topics as the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the rapture. As always, there is no charge for any of our material. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. That's preparationministries, all one word, .net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries@gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.